I can only imagine. I had Ryan sing that song, or asked him if he would. That topic come up to me a couple weeks ago. And I got to thinking about it. I can only imagine what heaven will be like. And I thought of Ryan there, you know, how we're going to react. I thought of Ryan, I wrote it down when he was thinking he'd be at a loss for words. Be one thing we will be. But all of us have an imagination, and that's the topic is going to be the imagination. And the Lord just poured so many different avenues to preach imagination. And just a while ago, I was at a loss. I thought, man, what's going on? I seek the Lord several times this afternoon, asking what we're going to do. So, and I'm still not exactly sure. You ever been there, Dave? I thought, I'm going to talk to Dave. I thought, he's already been there before. He knows. So if the Lord's in it, he'll have a message for us. If he's not, he'll shut me up and set me down. So first thing we're going to do, let's go to him in prayer. Lord, I humbly bow here before you this evening, Lord, that you'll guide and direct every word that flows out of me, Lord, that is directly from you and not of my own imagination, but the truth of you and your word and each and everything through the Holy Spirit. Lord, you'll guide and direct us. Prepare my heart, prepare everybody's heart that's here this evening, Lord, that you've got something for us. We know you have us gathered here for a reason. Now we'll just open your word and see where you lead us, Lord. I praise your name right now. I'm so humbled to stand here in this position, Lord, that I'm not worthy of anything, that let everybody look toward you and forget about this vile man that I am. I praise your name. I thank you, Lord, that you love me. I thank you, Lord, that you lifted the spirit in this church, Lord. Again, I say glory be to your name and these prayers we ask. Amen. Now, I got wrote down here, and I had like 3 pages of notes over the last couple of weeks, and then I started putting it together. It's like the Lord's going to say, and I don't mean just winging it, you know, how you can just wing something, but I'm just going to go by this and let the Lord go through me and see what happens. And if not, I'll sit down. I promise you. I tried to preach one time my grandpa Charlie. I imagined how it was going to be. I was going to show him his grandson was going to stand up here and preach powerful message. And the Lord made me slither down off of here like I was some whipped pup. He put me on my place really quick, and I'm never, ever going to go there again. That is one of the worst feelings, humiliation, that I ever experienced. Grandpa told me a few days later, he said, son, if you'd have went up there like you came down, God would have used you. Yes, sir. I'll not forget that one. So, I can only imagine. Lord, give me a peace right now. I was nervous as a cat coming down the road, Brother Debbie. Praise his name. It's all about him, right? It's all about him. Okay. All of us have an imagination. I looked it up. I looked up the word imagine. Okay. What is imagining? Imagine is to form a mental picture or idea of something. Okay. To suppose or guess. And that's really got me to going. All week, the last 2 weeks, I would think of imagine. And then when I'd start running off to something that God say that's wrong, there I'm saying, shut that imagination off. Okay, I'm finding out that imagination is part of us, a gift that we have, and like all other gifts, do we use it in a positive sense, or it can be used in a negative sense? And I can't help it, I'm going to admit something, I always imagine when I'm preaching, what's my Uncle Oki think of me? Okay, I do, and I'm sorry, Oki. But that's that vile, carnal man that I am. Okay? Anytime I do this, I can't help but imagine what are they going to think. But it's beyond that, and I apologize that I'm that weak. Okay. But let the Holy Spirit. Okay, in imagination is the process of forming mental images of the objects of perception or thought in the absence of concrete eternal stimuli. The mental ability to create original and striking images and ideas, which is the creative faculty that we have. Okay, so that, you know, that once I looked that up, I thought, well, imagination is just a something we do ourselves. So that got me to going. But a little more history on imagination. Remember when you was a child? Think about that. Can you remember back that far? Okay. Remember when you was a child? The first thought is, imagine what you're going to get for Christmas. And I think a lot about Livy. Since we're with her a lot, I watch her imagination. And I'm a horse named Sparkles and whatever. Sparky and Buttons. She'll ride me around just all day long. Buttons and Sparky, and she has friends, and you know, just remember that. Then teens, and remember being teens. You know, you're a teen now. We all were teens before you were, so we know what you're going through right now, son. Okay. So remember your and the imagination. Run pretty wild. Mine did. I'll admit that mine did. And I think today there is a lot more stimulation for imagination today, whether it be good or bad. Okay. But as a teen, you're starting to imagine, what am I going to be like when I'm older? Am I going to be a doctor, this or that, or whatever? And then, you know, all kinds of other things that go through a teen's mind. Being like someone else. They imagine maybe, you know, I say that. I imagine being a motocross star, football star, a movie star, just all kinds of things. The sky's the limit at that age, okay? So, I got the more I think, you know, we use that as a play on words or where you just say something, you know, just off the cuff. You just say something. But the sky's the limit. And adults. Now, it really starts getting kind of serious here. And I got some scripture, okay? So I'm telling Debbie, I said, I really don't have a scripture topic, but they'll start flowing here in just a minute, I tell you. Think about the imaginations of us as adults, okay? And when I think of adults, I was thinking from my perspective. Then I got to thinking, well, heck, I was an adult when, you know, legally, you're an adult when you're 18, but I wasn't. Okay. But when you start having children and responsibilities and stuff like that, you start imagining having a job that Ron has, you know. I remember thinking, I want a job that my dad has. I want a job that somebody else has got because it's better, you know. Not always that's the case, but we're always looking out there. We start imagining what our children's going to be like. I remember Mandy and Bill, you know. What are they going to be like when they grow up? How are they going to be as adults? I remember imagining you start to retire. You know, how's that going to be? You know, I'm going to go fishing every day and all this stuff. And I thought a lot about Greg. You know, when I think about hunting and stuff, I think about Greg and fishing. And we every time you go fishing, you imagine you're going to get your 7-pounder. I've caught one in my whole life, and I've imagined it thousands of times, but where that big buck, you know, just if I sit here 5 more minutes, that big buck's coming, or, you know, just anything that fits into your lifestyle, you can imagine. So most of our imaginations, I think most everybody could admit it. How many things have you imagined an outcome to that it actually turned out that way? So, right. If you got the nays over here and the yay here, you may have thousands and millions over here, and not too many turn out the way you figure it. One that stood out in my mind was my friend Roy Wharton, and he won't mind me saying his name, leave it on there. I witnessed him. We raced together, and we traveled together, so we spent a lot of time talking in the truck. Man, I really witnessed to him. And I thought, you know, in my imagination, I was going to lead him up here, and he was going to get saved with my guidance. Wrong. Okay? But that was my imagination. But he got saved, but God took care of that. I didn't have anything to do with it. Okay? That was where our imaginations are not accurate. But a positive thing turned out. Sometimes our imagination, and it turns out a negative way. Okay? And here's where I got lost, which way God wanted me to go. But when I got here, I started jotting these notes down that I took out. And this is some of the negative aspects of an imagination. First, in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, just going to read a couple of verses. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Okay, just flip on over just a little bit more to Genesis 11. This is talking about vain imagination. Chapter 11. Start with verse 4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain them from which they have imagined to do. That's vain imagination. Okay. And they were trying to, they imagined that they were as God. Okay. They imagined that they could be like God. Who got cast out of heaven for being that way? Satan. Okay. So that brought me kind of into today's modern ways of things. I really believe the world today is trying to build a tower. I really do. Trying to be like God, or that they are God. I thought of another, and we'll move on to positive stuff here shortly. I thought of, but another thing was maybe even our country's modern perspective, modern imagination is peace and prosperity without godly morals and integrity. That's the negative of an imagination. Imagining something you're not. So my point is going to get me to where do we develop an imagination from? Sometimes it's from something we saw as our youth. Sometimes it's something we saw on the TV. Sometimes it's something that comes out of, we don't know where it comes from. Okay, so my point here, we've talked about imagining, and I just barely scratched it. Okay, there was so much scripture in there on imagination, but the majority of it, folks, was evil imagination. Really, really was. So, you know, I didn't want to put a damper on the good spirit that the Lord has with us tonight. But the truth really should not do that. If we're receptive to the truth, negative aspects of the imagination won't affect us. It'll make us stronger. It'll make us grow. It'll make us realize that we have a gift that God gave us. One of my thoughts was imagining this building when it's completed. We've all probably imagined that, especially I'm sure Greg has, since he's led it up. But we've all seen pictures, but we're probably all have an imagination of it, and it probably won't be exactly like any one of us has thought. And that's just accurate. Okay. But I got to thinking a lot about building an image of heaven. You know, Miss Patty talked about heaven the other day. I've heard the word imagine several times today. You said it in your sermon this morning. Imagine what heaven's going to be like. We can't comprehend it, folks. We cannot. So it led me to go to Revelation, and everybody knows it. But to listen to the words of one that saw it. Let's develop an imagination of heaven from the very words of one that actually saw it. He didn't dream it up in his imagination. He visualized it. He heard the words. And it's full of it. I just happened to be reading it at work, and I just wrote down some of the words where John heard or John saw. Revelation 19. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. And I'm just going to see what the Lord does. I just wrote the scriptures down. If he gives me words about them, we'll talk about them. If not, we'll let his word speak to us. Revelation 19, 5 and 6. And the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And this is the one that got me right here. Folks, this is us. We're in this. This is talking about you, Sean. It's talking about you, buddy. You, each and every one of us. Think about that. We never really thought about us being directly in the scripture, but he's talking about us directly. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him honor. We're worshiping the Lord. That's us. That's us. That's right there. That's not an image. It's not my imagination. He was right there and he saw you, Dave. He saw you. He heard you shouting to the Lord. I thought about that earlier, a couple of services ago. Let's practice. Let's practice now. We can start now. No need to be ashamed of it, because if we're ashamed to do that here, let that set where it sets. Okay, that's exciting, folks. That's really exciting right there. Oh, just think about that. Just think. Us and thousands of those like us seeking God, seeking to worship him and serve him. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. And I saw an angel, right there, key word, and I saw. I saw. He didn't say, and I imagined. He said, I saw. And if you don't believe that's literal, then throw the whole book away. Just throw it out and get you another book. That's literal. John saw. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast nor his image, neither had they received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And John saw all that, but I brought that out because Greg taught about that before. He talked about the 1,000-year millennial reign. Those are the ones that come through the tribulation period and are going to be serving in the 1,000 millennial reign. Okay, but he saw that. He saw that. Now, adjust your imagination to truth. Okay, that's the point here. We can have an eyewitness account of heaven. I can only imagine that song. We can take one step further. Okay. So that's a positive song. I don't mean anything derogatory about that psalm. That's awesome. Okay. Revelations 21. You want to read verses 1 through 6. And I saw. There he is again. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he'll wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. John saw that, and that's us again, right there. Now, my first thought there went through my head. The next thing to say was, can you imagine that? Not really, but that's the truth. Take it for what it says, okay? 21:10 says, And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me, there's the key there, he showed me, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And the next several verses there is describing the holy city, the measurements and what it's made of. 21:22 says, And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. He saw. 22:8 And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren of the prophets, and of them that keep the saying of the book. He knelt down to worship the Lord with an angel. You're going to do that one day, Claire. Isn't that exciting? Okay, so now I tell you, as I'm about done here, if you want to get a song ready or whatever, let your imagination run wild with that. Okay? We got an eyewitness account right there. So, I can only imagine.
Yep, we can only imagine.
We won't comprehend a city with streets of gold, but we'll see it one day. Because he saw it. That's true. That's an accurate account. And that's all I got.